Okay, so then let's move into the message for today, Jesus and the Sabbath. Last week we looked at John chapter 4, where Jesus said to the father of the sick son, "Yeah, go your way, your son lives." There was a father who wanted Jesus to heal his son, and the father's idea was, "Hey, Jesus, come with me and you will heal him in my house." But Jesus had a different plan. And Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to come with you." Jesus said, "You go first, and then I will heal him." And the healing happened after the father obeyed and did what Jesus told him to do. That was the story and the principle that applies to all of us. Yes, of course, we can ask God for miracles. That's part of it. Jesus wants to perform miracles in our lives. But sometimes we are waiting for the miracle and nothing is happening because we are not listening. Because we are not doing what Jesus wants us to do. And sometimes Jesus is saying, "Hey, I want to do the miracle, I want to answer your prayer, but I'm not going to do it unless you do your part first. Unless you put your faith into practice first, unless you are obedient first, and then after you obeyed, then I will perform my miracle." God is not a wish box, and sometimes we need to have that faith, that courage, to be obedient first before we see God really answering the prayer that we have been praying for a long time sometimes. So that was last week. Now this week's focus is Jesus and the Sabbath, based on John chapter 5. Now, we did look at this very passage in the fall already. There was a lame man at the pool. He tried to earn his healing by being the first in the pool to be healed. Jesus came to him, and Jesus just blew through his whole belief system and was like, "No, you don't need the pool," and he just healed him. And the application for us here at Aletheia was that, and that it goes back to the conference that I was back in October in Milan and everything, the application was God is offering us to heal and restore our church as well. Those of you who have been with us for a while, you know that we had some real struggles around a year ago this time. But our part is we have to get up and walk first. We have to do our part first. We have to be obedient to God's calling first. And that specifically for us at this season means we need to do outreach. We need to be proactive in reaching people for God's kingdom. And as we do that, the healing, the restoration for our church, for our community, will come as well. So we looked at that in depth in the fall last year, so I won't focus on this man today because we've already done that. Today we will instead focus on Jesus, and we will focus specifically on the controversy that Jesus caused over the Sabbath. So let's look at the passage. This is at the end of the story. So they already had that conversation, Jesus and this man already had the conversation about the healing, about him saying, "Hey, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, there's always someone who is faster." And then Jesus just saying, "Well, you know what, I'm going to just heal you right away." So if you want to read the whole passage, maybe tonight, you can also read verses 1 to 8, but we pick up the story now here in verse 8. Jesus said unto him, referring to this lame man, Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And that same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up your bed, and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that who said unto you, take up your bed and walk?" And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had taken himself away, multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing came unto you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father works still, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. All right. So, first the healing, then the controversy. The reason why people got upset with Jesus was it was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. And Jesus came to this man, first he healed him, and then he told him, pick up your bed and walk. So Jesus upset the religious leaders in two ways. First of all, he did the healing on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders at the time, they believed that, well, on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any kind of work. Healing someone is work. So you are not allowed to heal on the Sabbath. This is against God's will. And then secondly, Jesus told the man to carry his bed. That was also considered work. And so again, they heard from this man, first of all, Jesus healed him, and secondly, he told you to pick up your bed and walk. So these are both things that are not allowed to do on the Sabbath. And that's why they got upset with Jesus. And that's why they thought this Jesus guy can never be a man of God, because he breaks the Sabbath law. That was their interpretation of what happened. Now, to understand the problem, we need to understand the religious belief system at the time. There were the religious leaders, mainly the Pharisees. And then there was the rest of society, and they did not really have access to education. They couldn't read, most of them. They didn't have access to the scriptures. They did not have schools that they could go to. So in the end, ordinary people, if you were not part of the religious system, if you're not part of the religious leaders, you really had no access to the Bible. You really had no access to the scriptures by yourself. You were completely dependent on the religious leaders. And whatever the leaders told you, that must be true. People had no way of verifying or testing what the Pharisees said, because they had no access to that kind of knowledge. Now, for whatever reason, the Pharisees obviously misinterpreted the scriptures. Now, if you look at the whole Bible, all the stories, there was most likely, or almost certainly, there was a lot of pride in the Pharisees. There was a lot of arrogance in them. Maybe they were just deceived. Maybe they were after worldly gains. Maybe they just wanted to be rich. And yeah, in some passages we read that they really wanted the attention of people and they wanted that people admire them and all those things. So there was a lot of bad motives inside the Pharisees as well. And they really tried to control the people. And so they were not after truth necessarily. What they were really after was their status, money, admiration and recognition by people, all these things. But in the end, the Pharisees made the rules. Because nobody could object, nobody could tell them that they were wrong. They told people, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Old Testament says, everybody believed it, and so nobody could really check whether they were right or wrong in what they taught. That was the problem, and it also showed in the way that they treated the Sabbath. They interpreted the Old Testament as you are not allowed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. They went around, they communicated the rules, they imposed the rules, and then they criticized people like Jesus or like this lame man on that day, and they said, hey, what you are doing is wrong because it's the Sabbath day. Now, to add insult to injury, they themselves didn't keep the rules either. They found all kinds of loopholes because they were able and allowed to make the rules. So they kind of found loopholes to get around the Sabbath law for themselves, but everybody else had to keep the law according to what they taught. And that's exactly what happened on this day. So there's a man who carries his bed on the Sabbath. And their interpretation was, that's work, that's sin, we need to correct this guy. Jesus healed a man. Their interpretation, that's wrong, that's sin, we need to correct and reject this Jesus as well. And then Jesus said something that really, really upset them. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They fully understood what Jesus' claim was. Nowadays, a lot of people, they try to rationalize Jesus and they try to minimize his teaching and they say, yeah, he was a great religious teacher, or yeah, he was a very wise man, a very powerful man, he was a great prophet, all kinds of things. But when you look at passages like this, we just have to say that's not possible. Jesus claimed to have authority over what is and what is not allowed on the Sabbath. He claimed to have authority in saying, I know what you can and cannot do on this day. Obviously, the Sabbath is a commandment from God. So in other words, by claiming authority over the Sabbath, Jesus also claimed authority to be God himself. And Jesus made that very clear in everything that he taught, also in this passage. He said, God is my Father, and that is why I have authority over the Sabbath. And that's why I am the Messiah. I am God. And that, of course, didn't sit well with the Pharisees at all. In their minds, they thought, you just broke the Sabbath law. You just did work on the Sabbath, which you are not allowed to do. And now you stand up and you claim to be God. This is not possible. How can you make such a claim? This is a contradiction in itself. Because if you were God, you would also keep God's commandment perfectly. So logically, either our understanding of the Bible is wrong, or you are not the Messiah. And obviously, their conclusion was, we are not wrong. We know everything. We are the Pharisees. We are smart. We are educated. You are not. We must be right. So the only option left is, Jesus, you can't be God. And we all know, a while later, they killed him for this very reason. Because in their mind, they said, you committed blasphemy. You claim to be God, and you are not. So that was the tension. That was the struggle that was going on that day. Now, of course, we know that Jesus is God. We know on which side of the argument we are on. So what we can really take from this passage is we need to learn to see the Sabbath the way that Jesus did. Not the way the Pharisees did, not just taking the letter of the law, but we need to really learn what is the Sabbath all about, what did Jesus teach about the Sabbath. And let's treat the Sabbath in the same way that Jesus did treat the Sabbath, because that is the correct view. So what did Jesus say in this passage? What did he say throughout the rest of the Bible? Well, obviously, the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. The Sabbath is a commandment. It's not a good idea, it's not a suggestion, it's not just something that is beneficial for us. It's a commandment. God did tell us, a week has 7 days. 6 of those you work. 1 of these days you rest. There's one word that really flies around more often now, I feel, than when I was young. And that is the term work-life balance. Ever heard that? Did you ever hear someone at work or maybe friends or something, they talk about, I haven't found the right work-life balance yet. They either feel like they're working too much, most of them, or some people say, okay, I'm not working enough. Not very many, but there are also those. They just can't find the right balance between working and living. Jesus told us this 2,000 years ago. And God told us even early on Mount Sinai, what is the right work-life balance? 6 days a week you work, 1 day you rest. We are not to be lazy, working only 1 or 2 or 3 days a week and kind of just be lazy the rest of the time. We are also not to overwork, working all 7 days per week. The commandment is clear. 6 days a week we work, 1 day we rest. Now, just to make sure nobody misunderstands me here, we are not necessarily talking about work for money. Maybe it is work for money for some of us. Maybe for some of us it's about taking care of kids at home or taking care of the household or something like this. That's also work. So we are not talking about 6 days a week you need to earn money. But we are talking about 6 days a week you work in whatever form, whether for money or not for money, doesn't matter. 6 days you work, 1 day you rest. The problem with the Pharisees was they took this commandment, but they didn't understand its purpose. And so for them, it just became legalism. For them, it just turned out, okay, this is what the commandment says. And then they strictly told everyone on the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to carry your bed, you're not allowed to heal, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to travel, you just have to rest. That was their understanding of the Sabbath. But that's where they were totally wrong and where Jesus had to correct them. Now, the stated purpose of the Sabbath in this commandment is clearly rest. And it definitely also includes physical and emotional rest. Nothing wrong with a Sabbath where we say, I want to sleep in today. I want to stay in bed longer. I want to watch a movie to relax. I want to go to a sports event, something like this. I want to do some fun stuff to switch my mind off for a day. Nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with doing recreational things and regaining our strength. That's part of what the Sabbath is there for. But I think we need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of the Pharisees. Because the main purpose of the Sabbath is not just physical rest. It's one of the purposes, but it's not the main purpose. There's a much bigger one. Is physical rest true rest? Not really. Where can we find true rest? In God's presence. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Sabbath is not just about having nothing to do. Sabbath is not just about sleeping in. Sabbath is not just about doing fun stuff. Nothing wrong with these things, but that's not the main purpose. True rest, what the Sabbath is all about, is entering God's presence. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Context in Hebrews is about being obedient to God's commandments, being obedient to God's guidance, listening to God's voice, listening to his guidance, and doing God's will. So if you put all these things together, what is the Sabbath all about? It's about finding rest in God's presence. Finding true rest. Spending time with God, hearing his voice, doing what he tells us to do. The Sabbath is not a day to keep legalistic rules. It's not a day where we just have a list and say, I can't do this, I can't do that, I shouldn't do these things. But the Sabbath is also not just a day to be lazy, not a day to just stay in bed from morning till night, not a day to simply do nothing and be bored. The Sabbath is a day that we should use to focus on our relationship with God. That is its purpose. 6 days a week, we should focus primarily on being faithful to our worldly responsibilities. That can include things like earning money, can include things like studying, can include things like taking care of our house, can include things like shopping, making sure that we have enough food in the fridge and these kind of things. And then 1 day a week, we should keep completely free from all these worldly responsibilities, where we say, I'm not going to go after money today, I'm not going to study today, I'm not going to fix things in the house today, I'm not going to shop today. Instead, my primary focus of this day is, I want to focus on my relationship with God. This day, I want to spend more time with God. I want to read His Word. I want to pray more. I want to listen to what He has to say. Of course, that doesn't mean that it's either or. So 6 days a week, we just don't care about God. And then on the Sabbath, we just kind of catch up and do all the work, or not work, but we just focus on our relationship with God exclusively. Of course, it's not meant to be like that either. Of course, we should have our quiet time. We should have our Bible time throughout the week as well. We should focus on our relationship with God on every single day. But let's be honest. Sometimes it's difficult. Business trips, stress at work, all those things. And sometimes throughout the week, it's just so much going on that we can't really focus on our relationship with God as much as we want to. And that's okay, because 6 days a week we're supposed to work. But on the Sabbath day, we should have a different focus. There our main focus should be, today I'm going to keep free. Today I'm not going to focus on money. I'm not going to focus on shopping or anything like this. I'm going to keep this day free so that this day I can really focus on my relationship with God. And I will not be distracted by all this worldly stuff that is keeping me busy the other 6 days. Now, in light of this purpose of the Sabbath, Jesus' actions in John chapter 5 make perfect sense. The Pharisees were like, how dare you heal on the Sabbath? How dare you tell this guy to pick up his bed and walk? This is all work. You're not supposed to do that. But Jesus' attitude was, today is the Sabbath. The purpose of this day is so that I can focus on my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father just told me that right here, right now, I should heal this guy and that I should tell him to pick up his bed and to walk. And so I just did that. And there's no contradiction. That's not work, like having to earn money or fixing something in the house or going shopping. That's walking out my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And if I walk out my relationship with my Heavenly Father, that's exactly what the Sabbath is all about. So there is no contradiction. Jesus saying, I didn't break the Sabbath law. I just did the will of my Father. Going back a few weeks ago, when we looked at the woman at the well, what was food to her? What was food to him, rather? My food is to do the will of the Father. Doing a healing, doing ministry, might look like work from the outside. But if it's really doing the Father's will, it's not draining. It's fulfilling. It's enriching. It's not something where you go away from afterwards and say, now I'm really tired, now I need a break from all of this. It's something where we should go away from this kind of encounter and say, this gave me so much. I have so much energy now. I have so much strength now. I have so much passion now for God. I received even more than what I gave. It filled me. It strengthened me. And it didn't feel like work at all. So there's really no contradiction between keeping the Sabbath rest and healing this man. Because it wasn't worldly work. Jesus wasn't after money. He wasn't like, okay, I need to organize, I need to fix the house. He didn't say, okay, I need to shop now because shops are closed tomorrow or something like this. He wasn't after that. He simply did the Father's will. And because he did the Father's will, it was not breaking the Sabbath law. Now back to the bigger picture. We saw earlier that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Unfortunately, nowadays the church has more or less divided the Ten Commandments in two categories. There's the category of the Ten Commandments that are really bad. Murder, lying, honoring parents. So if you do something like, if you break these commandments, then in some church context, you're in real trouble. You might be kicked out of the church. You might have to go through some kind of restoration, counseling, and these kind of things. In some churches, you face all kinds of discipline if you fall into sin in one of these areas. But then there are some other of the Ten Commandments that unfortunately are not taken very seriously. And church is kind of sending out the message, it's not a big deal if you break that commandment. And I would single out two. First one is the whole area of sexual immorality. 100 years ago, or in the last 100 years, the church made a huge flip on this topic. If you committed sexual immorality or any kind of sexuality outside marriage or before marriage, you were in real trouble 100 years ago. And in many churches, you were excommunicated for not keeping the law. What does the church nowadays say? It's normal. It's part of society. Everybody makes mistakes. And the church is kind of minimizing this commandment. So that's the first one that I believe the church is not taking nearly as serious as they should. But the one commandment that is, I believe, is neglected even more is the Sabbath. How many churches still care about the Sabbath? How many churches teach on the Sabbath? How many churches actively practice a Sabbath? How many churches rebuke and correct people for not having a Sabbath? I believe not very many. But reality is, it's just one of the Ten Commandments. Murder, lying, sexual immorality, Sabbath, it's all the same level. It's all one of the Ten Commandments. And they are all serious matters if we do not keep them. The struggle here is, of course, the Sabbath is not that black and white. Lying is relatively black and white, and we all know whether we lied or not in certain situations. Killing someone is pretty black and white. Adultery is pretty black and white. But the Sabbath is not that black and white. Because we have different lives, we need different things on the Sabbath. And how God wants us to spend the Sabbath is very different from person to person. And I think that's part of the reason why churches hesitate to talk about it, because they know exactly there are no clear rules. And we don't want to go back to the Pharisees and kind of make legalistic rules that then are totally wrong. So in the end, we can look at biblical principles, we can look at Jesus' teaching, we can look at the purpose of the Sabbath. But what the Sabbath means to you is probably very different from what the Sabbath means to me. Because our lives are different, and so what we should aim for and what we should look for on the Sabbath is very, very different. But nevertheless, Let's not take it lightly. Let's not think, because there are no clear rules, so the Sabbath doesn't matter any longer. That's not true. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and we need to treat it like that. So let's talk about some practical steps. How can we get better, or how can we, maybe if we don't have a Sabbath right now, how can we start really practicing and honoring God with the Sabbath? First of all, pick a Sabbath day that works for you. For most people, it's Sunday, and for most people, that makes sense. And I don't see if it works for you, if there is no reason, if you're not required to do work on Sunday, then I think that's a good day to pick your Sabbath. But for me personally, Sunday doesn't work. Simply because of the service here, it's not a restful day at all. So many small things that I need to think of from the moment I wake up until we leave here at around 6. So this is not a restful day for me. That's why I have my Sabbath on Saturday. And that's why on Saturday I refuse to do any kind of work. And if you send me a message or something on Saturday and it's not a life or death situation, I'll reply, but I will reply the next day. Because on Saturday, I'm just off. So first of all, keep a day or pick a day that works for you. And then secondly, keep your Sabbath day free from any kind of worldly work. This is something I had to learn over months and years, and it was really a longer process. In the past, I often allowed leftover work to spill over into my Sabbath. So I said, okay, and during the week I'm busy, so on Saturdays then I go shopping. Or because I'm also a freelancer, on Saturdays I'll write my invoices. I'll write invoices to my clients because Monday to Friday I'm busy. Or maybe I said, okay, Monday to Friday I'm busy, so then on Saturday I prepare some of the message for Sunday or something like that. It took me a lot of time to learn to keep my Sabbath free from all these things. And I realized I really need to plan, because there will be things that will pop up on Saturday that I will be tempted to do. And I needed to learn to anticipate those things, and I needed to learn to move those things away and say, either I do them on Friday already, or sometime throughout the week so that I don't have to do them on Saturday, or if they pop up on Saturday, to have enough discipline to say, I'm not going to do it today, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I really had to learn to schedule my whole week in a different way so that I could really keep my Saturday free. And here is a big temptation for someone like me. I get paid by hour as a freelancer. And if you get paid by hour, you always have this temptation, well, I could just work another hour on this and I get quite a bit more money for one more hour. And I really had to learn to say, no, stop. I'm not after money. I'm not after getting rich here. I fully know keeping a Sabbath for me means losing money. I'm fully aware of that. But I still do it because I want to honor God by keeping my Sabbath free. My instinct tells me, yeah, just work a bit more and then do some of the work on Saturday. But my faith tells me, stop working now and do some of the other things so that you don't have to do them on Saturday. And then the next step, keep the day free to reconnect with God. This is something where I also struggle, to be honest. I'm pretty good by now in keeping my Sabbath free from work, from worldly work. But sometimes then I'm so tired or so exhausted or I so want to do other things that I kind of push God out of my Sabbath. And that is, of course, also not honoring God with my Sabbath either. So really putting that in our schedule as well, that we say, maybe as singles or as couples, that we say, hey, on my Sabbath, I will spend more time with God, not less. I will read my Bible more. I will pray more. I will ask him specific questions. I will spend some time hearing from him, all those things. I don't know what that means for you, but I do know for me, that is something that I'm still lacking on my Sabbath, that I really have the determination to really hear from God and to really spend time with Him and not just enjoy a day off. But the important thing is, it's not about legalism. We don't want to go back to the way that the Pharisees treated the Sabbath, because that was exactly their problem. Instead of legalism, it's about our heart attitudes. If we keep the Sabbath, it says something about our hearts. It says something about our determination to not allow the world to break into our relationship with God. When we keep the Sabbath, we say the world is not more important than God. Everybody is screaming at me. Everybody wants my time. Everybody tells me to work more. There's a lot of pressure out there. But God is more important. And that's why I keep the Sabbath free from these things. It's a way of saying, I trust that God will provide for all my needs. Yes, keeping a Sabbath might mean that maybe we don't have time for some other things that we could do. Maybe in a situation like mine, it could literally cost us money. For others, it means that they might have to give up a certain hobby or something like that in order that they can really keep the Sabbath free. But when we keep the Sabbath, we really express, God will provide for all my needs. We express, only God will fulfill me, and these worldly things are not that important. We express, God is my highest priority, and other things won't interfere with my relationship with God. And we express, I want to do God's will. I want to hear what God wants me to do, and I want to do His will. And in order for me to be able to do that, I have my Sabbath. And on my Sabbath, I want to hear from God, and I want to focus on my relationship with Him. So our attitude towards the Sabbath really tells us something about our faith, about our trust, about our satisfaction in God, and about our priorities. Now here's reality. Keeping the Sabbath is getting more and more difficult. Look at how society is changing. I grew up on a farm, and the life that my parents, my father, that they are used to was much, much slower than the life that I'm leading today. And this is not just because I moved from a village to a city like Munich. This is just something that society is pushing on us. Be more busy, be more productive, learn more, study faster, work faster, perform better. And the pressure just gets stronger and stronger and stronger all the time. Satan keeps us really, really busy. Society is lying to us that we shouldn't waste our time, that we shouldn't rest, that we should be more productive and all those things. And it's just getting worse and worse. We have to be aware of that, and we have to fight against that. Maybe society has changed. Maybe outside pressures have changed, but it doesn't change the fact. The Sabbath is a commandment that God expects us to keep. So let's close with some questions for personal reflection. When we look at the last few weeks and our Sabbaths, whatever day that is, what kind of work am I often doing on my Sabbath? What kind of leftover work, what kind of spills over throughout the week, and I allowed it to spill into my Sabbath again and again and again, and it really takes my focus, and it really distracts me from focusing on God on that day. What kind of worldly stuff is God asking me to keep the Sabbath free from? But also the same question the other way around. Am I not doing something on the Sabbath that maybe God does want me to do? Do I give God the rightful place on the Sabbath? Or am I so busy with doing my own stuff that there is little room for God? Does God want me to start a new practice on my Sabbath to really seek Him? and to really go deep with him. These are questions that I can't answer for others. These are questions that I can only answer for myself. And these are questions that all of us need to answer for ourselves in our relationship with God. To sum it all up, how can I honor God with the way that I honor the Sabbath? What does God want me to do on my Sabbath so that I can honor him more and that I can really give him the honor and the glory and the priority in my life that he deserves? May we pray. God, thank you for the Sabbath. And thank you that you really don't just encourage, but you really command us to keep the Sabbath. Thank you that you know our limits. Thank you that you know how much we can take. And thank you that you do know that you created us with limits so that we can really focus, because we do need to be recharged by you. And we do need to refocus on you, because otherwise this world will just kill us. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for knowing us better than we know ourselves, so that we can really focus on this. All we have to do is obey. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. We just have to obey the commandment that you've already given us to rest one day a week. And so please help us to understand what that means to us personally, what you want us to do or not do any longer on the day off. Help us to really focus on that and help us to really just hear from you and give us the faith and the courage to then obey. Lord, help us to honor you with our Sabbath. Help us to love you. Help us to really come to you and hear from you each day. And help us, Lord, once a week to really give the day to you and just allow you to direct. Not this world, not our bosses, not our teachers, not the things of this world, but really giving that one day a week to you, allowing you to determine what you want us to do on that day. Father, thanks for reminding us, and help us to apply it now, each of us in our own way, for the glory of your name. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and just listen to what he wants to say.